Today, our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts. None of us will ever forget this day. Yet we go forward to defend freedom and all that is good and just in our world. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Leading with Sense. I'm still your host, Tim, and today I'm going to be sharing my personal story with finances. So I've alluded to it in other episodes, talked a little bit about it overall, and I've never really just broken down my story completely so that you can kind of see where I'm coming from, where I'm going, and the lessons I've learned. So just real quick, you know, growing up, I was your average kid. I worked a lot. I played sports. I used to have a lawn mowing business and, you know, I made pretty good money and I blew it all while I was in high school. And then I get to college and I paid for college my freshman year, just like everyone else does. You know, I took out just student loans to pay for it. And then I went into ROTC, which paid for the rest of my college. And throughout my high school and college career, I didn't really have a great relationship with money. You know, whenever I got money in my pocket, it usually burnt a hole in my pocket. And I would buy things I didn't need. And I would take out loans on things that I really shouldn't be taking loans out on, especially at that age, like cars and motorcycles, things like that. And I used my credit cards back in college as a line of credit for going out, having fun, and just living expenses. So upon graduating college, I probably had a couple thousand dollars in credit card debt, and I had about $10,000 in student loans. So that was about average, you know. Actually, probably better than average because I only had $9,000 in student loans, where the average college student graduates with about $35,000. So I thought I was in good shape. So then I go off to flight school down at Fort Rucker, Alabama. And all of a sudden, I found myself living in a house, right? And I had taken some furniture with me, but not a lot. I had a lot of space to fill. So what did I do? I didn't have a lot of money. So I went and bought furniture on a credit card. Discover to be exact, I think it was. And I discovered furniture. And I probably spent probably $2,000 or $3,000 on furniture. It was really nice and it looked really good. And I had it in my apartment that day, right? So I had some credit cards. So this is probably about $5,000 in credit cards by this point. And I was just your normal guy. And I took out the USAA Career Starter Loan because it was basically free money, right? That's what everyone said. And for people that don't know, the USAA Career Starter Loan is a one-time $25,000 loan that you can get from USAA when you commission. I think it's a year before you commission is when you can get it. So I had taken that out. So let's see, I had $9,000 in student loans, $25,000 in a loan to USAA, and about $5,000 in credit cards by this point. And if you're doing math, that's somewhere, you know, low $40,000 worth of debt. So continuing on, I had a car that I had a loan on at the time, and it wasn't a big loan. It was a small loan, but when that car got up around 98,000 miles, you know, I assumed the car was going to die because that's what cars do, right? When they hit 100,000 miles, they just die. So I needed a new car. And by that point, you know, I was a lieutenant at flight school. So I was making the most money that I had ever made consistently to that point. So I decided that I needed a new truck because that's what every lieutenant buys. you know, there's a joke saying, if you want to know what your group, an officer is in the military, just look at what your Tacoma they drive. And there is some truth to that, because a lot of times lieutenants get to their first duty assignment and they buy a brand new vehicle. And yeah, so if you want to know what your group's an officer is, just look to see if he drives a Tacoma or some other vehicle and see what year it is. And that might be a clue. So anyway, so I went and bought a Toyota Tacoma, brand new, off the lot. And I think it was like $33,000 out the door. So I traded in my car on a Toyota Tacoma, about $33,000. So if we're doing math here, you know, it was low $40,000, let's say $42,000 before that, plus $33,000. So we're in about $77,000 worth of debt now. You see how this is kind of just accumulating. And at this time, I didn't have any money in savings. I didn't know I needed any money in savings. So I'm just kind of accruing debt as I go along. You know, I move into the house, get the furniture, maybe some living expenses, get a car, and it's just starting to kind of snowball in the wrong direction. So I drive in to work the next day in my brand new truck, which is awesome, by the way. It was a really nice truck. It was, you know, four-door Tacoma, four-wheel drive, touchscreen. I think it was a 2013 model, which was a year in the future, right? Because it was 2012 at the time for me. So it was a year in the future. I bought a 2013. And I come in the next day, and one of my buddies in my class, who is a little bit older than I was, he walks up to the truck as I'm standing next to it waiting for the Fort Rucker school bus. And he's like, "Hey, man, that's a nice truck. Is it brand new?" And I said, "Yep, sure is. Just bought it yesterday." And he asked me how I paid for it. I looked at him like he was crazy. I was like, "What do you mean? How did I pay for it?" He's like, "Yeah, did you pay cash?" And I said, "Nope, sure did not. I got a loan." He's like, "Oh, that's interesting." I was like, "Isn't that how everyone buys cars?" And he's like, "Well, how about I go get you a book? And if I bring you a book, will you read it?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure. I'll read your book. Like, I don't know what it is, but I'll read it." So he brought me a copy of The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. And I'm not a huge reader, so I picked up the book and I read it within like a week. And I came in the next week after the weekend and I went out to him. His name was Barry. I said, "Hey, Barry, I read the book and I think I messed up. Like, I don't think I needed this truck. You know, it's a lot of debt for not a lot of reward." And he looks me dead in the eye and says, "Okay, let's take the truck back." And I thought he was nuts. And I said to him, I was like, "You cannot take a truck back. It's been, you know, I put about 800 miles on it. I took a road trip. It's been a week. Like, they probably don't even have my car anymore." And he kept on it. He's like, "Let's go try to take the truck back." So him and I went back to the dealership, which was Bondi's Toyota in Enterprise. Great, great people work there. And we went back and I found my salesperson and I talked to her and I said, "Hey, I think I made a mistake. I think this truck's a little bit more than I can afford." And the whole staff just kind of looked at me funny. Like, "What are you talking about, dude?" And I talked to the general manager and I told him what was going on. I told him like, "Yep, I just don't think I'm in a position to buy this right now. Like, I'm really sorry." And they're really nice about it, actually. After they found out I was serious and not kidding, they told me to come back the next day and they would have some numbers laid out for me. So the next day, it's all I'm thinking about. You know, I'm on the flight line trying to learn how to fly a helicopter. And all I can think about is what is going to happen later today. So Barry, my buddy Barry, came back with me to the dealership that night. And we sat down and they slid me a piece of paper across the desk and it had a number on it of $1,200, $1,200. And they said, this is what you need to pay to trade in your brand new truck on your old car. Your truck has depreciated because you drove it off the lot, because new cars depreciate when you drive them off the lot, apparently. And they had done some detail work to my car. So $1,200 and I've got my car back. So I wrote them a check and I was done that day. So that was $33,000 that I just wiped out by taking my truck back. I didn't turn in my truck. I took it back and traded in my truck on my old car. So that was the line in the sand where I started to go the other way. Again, I was accruing debt all this time, not really investing, not really saving. And this is the line in the sand where I started the curve in the other direction, the other way. And from that point on, I never took out another consumer debt after that, right? So I never opened up another credit card. I never took out another car loan. I never did, you know, any kind of personal loan after that. Because I made a promise to myself. I said, never again am I going to feel that stupid. So luckily for me, shortly after flight school, I got a plane ticket to Afghanistan. And I spent 15 months over in Afghanistan, which significantly helped me get out of debt. So while I was in Afghanistan, I would pay myself a small fee. I say a small fee. I would pay myself a little bit out of my paycheck and I would put the rest on debt. So again, at this point, I have around $40,000 in debt. So I started paying this down. And I used the debt snowball where I listed my debt, smallest to largest, regardless of interest rate. And I knocked down my debt. I was able to knock it down while I was in Afghanistan. And I was able to get some savings going along with some investments. Again, this never would have happened had someone not taken me by the hand and said, hey, what you're doing is not working. Here's another way to do it. And to this day, I still thank Barry for what he did for me. And again, being able to go in the right direction, it was as simple as stop taking out debt, start saving, start investing. Again, so this is 2014 now. I was in Afghanistan and I had all my debt paid off by sometime early 2015. But then I came back from Afghanistan and I had to kind of learn how to handle my finances back in the marketplace, right? So I always talk about the marketplace, how it's a really dangerous place for people that don't know what they're doing with their money. And I had been in Afghanistan, so there was no marketplace there other than Amazon Marketplace where I could order something and have it to my location in about 2 weeks. So I was back in Austin and, you know, I probably wasn't as diligent as I should have been right when I got back. I was kind of, you know, YOLOing in a sense, but I wasn't taking out any more debt. I still was driving the same car that I drove back in flight school and I was having a great time. And after about 4 or 5 months of being back from Afghanistan is when I kind of got back on the savings wagon, got back on the investing wagon. And so that was late 2015 by this point. So in 2015, I got really serious and I got a financial advisor in Austin. Kelly McKeon is his name. Awesome guy. I'd recommend him to anybody. And I just started saving. Started investing consistently over time. So from 2015, 2016, 2017 on, I've been consistent. I've been investing and I've been staying out of debt, you know, and I've been buying houses smartly and not, you know, 100% leveraged or anything like that. So if I look back at that point in 15, 2016, I was starting from zero. I wasn't starting in the negative like a lot of people are. I wasn't starting in debt. I had already done that portion of it, right? I'd already built that foundation, but I was basically starting from zero. I had some money in my TSP. I had some money in IRA by then, but that was really my starting point of my upturn in finance. And when I look at my charts of my investments and I look at my savings from this 7-year period, you know, 2016, 2015, 2016 period till now, that's about 7 years, right? I never would have imagined that I would be at this point only 7 years later, that my account balances would be where they are, where, you know, and the progress that really starts to happen about that 7-year mark, you know, compound interest and things start to really work in your favor. And you really forget where you came from, or you forget where you started from. And that's kind of the purpose of this episode. It's just to tell everyone that we all start somewhere. We all start somewhere. I started around $77,000 in debt. That's when I said, enough is enough. I said, I am done. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I had no clue what I was doing at the time. You know, some people say like, oh, I'm a white belt in finance. Well, I wasn't even wearing a belt back then because I had no clue what I was doing. You know, everyone said you shouldn't invest. You should stay out of debt. You need to build your credit. You need to do this. You need to do that. And I was so all over the place that I was making zero progress in any one direction. I remember I had called USAA back in like 2013 and asked them, hey, I want to start an investment account. And he asked me how much money I had in savings at the time, which I had very little. And he said, call me back when you're out of debt and you have some savings. I just remember like, what do you mean? Come on. Like, I'm just trying to invest just like everyone says I should. But you're going to get to a point where you say, I make too much money to be this broke. I make all this money, where does it go? And you're going to decide to put that line in the sand and go in the opposite direction. And that's the only way that we can succeed, is if we recognize what we are doing is wrong, or we recognize something that we're doing is inhibiting our performance. And that's kind of the purpose of the money marching order. Money marching order number one is to stop. Stop what you're doing and take a look at what is going on. Take a look at your budget. Take a look at your life insurance. Take a look at your will. Take a look at the last 3 months of your bank account and see where your money is going. Because probably to this point, you had no idea where it was going. But once you get a hold of that and you do your budget and you make your plan and you make your debt snowball and you give yourself a direction to go, that is when you start to succeed. That is when you start to go in the right direction. And 7 years down the road, you're going to thank your past self for making that decision. You're going to thank yourself that you decided to stop acting like a child and you took responsibility of your finances and you took control in the right direction. And if anyone knows about the rule of, I think it's rule 10, rule 7, whatever it is, but if you have a balance invested properly, if you don't touch that investment in 10 years, in 7 years, that investment will double, right? So if you have $100,000 and you haven't invested properly, in 7 years, it's going to double to $200,000. So this is the compound interest working for you. So if you have $100,000 in your retirement account and you're contributing consistently on a monthly basis, in 7 years, it's going to more than double, right? And then another 7 years, it's going to more than double again. And next thing you know, again, it's going to start to really snowball in the right direction. So if you're in a place where you think you're going in the wrong direction, you know, if your life kind of sounds like a country song and you're accruing a lot of debt and you're not really saving a lot, or you have a lot of debt and you're really not paying it off, you're just kind of floating along so that you can live the lifestyle that you want to live, it's time to stop. It's time to stop and get your head count, find out what's going on, and come up with the plan. Follow the plan and execute. You have to put an assault on the debt and get rid of it. Then you have to save up an emergency fund and then start investing, because the sooner you start investing, the more money you will have when you retire, the more money you will have to put down on the house. So I have to ask you, are you going in the right direction? And what are you doing about it if you're not? So stop today while you're in the car driving, while you're at home getting ready for bed, and just think, am I going in the right direction? And what do I need to do to get out? If you're in debt, you need to pay it off. If you don't have an emergency fund, you need to establish one. If you're not investing in retirement and you're out of debt and you have emergency fund, you need to start. You need to start today. And that's the whole point. The sooner you start, the better off you'll be. Thanks for listening to this episode. And again, I'm your host, Tim, with Leading with Sense.